Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." That first line, "For the word of God," you've got it in your hands. "For the word of God is living and is active. It is sharper than any." I don't care how sharp you think you've got your knife today. And there are some of you in here, you've got it pretty sharp. I know you do. I've seen you use it. But I promise you that what you have right here in this hand is sharper than any knife, any two-edged sword. It does not matter what it is that you have. This right here will do more than anything you'll ever hold here on earth will ever do. Amen. It's the word of God. It's alive. It's active today in this place. Amen. Amen. For a few moments, I want to speak just this thought. The sword, my weapon of defense. The sword, my weapon of defense. Once you put that sword down, let's lift our hands, ask the Lord one more time to be with us in the remainder of this service. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. God, for what you've already done in this place, God. I ask you right now, God, to anoint my lips, God. I pray, God, that you would right now, God, your word's anointed already, Lord. I pray, anoint the ears, the hearts, the minds of the people, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name right now, your spirit, God, be activated in this place, God, and do a mighty work, Lord. God, I pray, God, ministering angels, God, be in this place today. In the name of Jesus right now, God. God, let us see the importance of your word today, Lord, and minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, the New King James Version says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle," hear this, "for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Right. So that time when you think at work, when you think it's just that coworker is just trying to get under your skin. You think the boss just doesn't like you. I'm wrestling against this and that. I'm wrestling against these things. It's just my mind. That's the problem. No, understand that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, it's saying, here's what you're going to face. So here's what you need to do. Therefore, because of all of this, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Amen.
Stand therefore, having girded up your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation. And here's the last thing. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Somebody shout the word of God. My desire is that we all have a clear understanding of exactly what that is today. To have the sword of the word of God in operation in our lives. Not just have it, but in operation. The divine resources that God has prescribed for us to use in order to experience great victory in our life. Great victory in spiritual warfare. God wants us to stand firm while we're in spiritual warfare. That is to hold the ground that Jesus has already won for us.
Amen.
Amen. Understand that. Understand that Jesus has already won the victory for us. That, and he is wanting us to experience that victory in our lives ourselves.
Amen.
That he's not looking for us to go out and create victory, for he has already crafted victory for us. He simply tells us to stand firm, starting in verse 10 into 13. He says, stand firm. Don't move. Don't be shaken. Stand firm. Don't allow the enemy to even shake you. Don't allow Satan to intimidate you into thinking that you may not win this battle, because we must understand this morning, because you are on the side of Jesus, you're not fighting for victory. You're actually fighting from victory. Amen. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is mine, saith the Lord. Victory is yours, saith the Lord. It's not something you have to fight for. You're standing in victory right now, because where He is, there is victory. You don't have to go looking for it. It's there waiting on you. You're standing in the midst of your victory right now. So when the spiritual fight comes along, understand that we're not trying to achieve something. That something has already been achieved, because victory belongs to Jesus and we belong to Him.
Amen.
Somebody shout, the sword of the Spirit.
The sword of the Spirit.
It's important to understand this, that out of all the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon in the arsenal.
That's right.
Everything else is designed to hold us steady from what the enemy is seeking to do to us in this evil day. But in the last one, in this last one, He has put a weapon in our hands, and He expects us to use it.
Yes.
You see, the soldier has two types of swords in the Roman army. There is a long sword. It allows them to fight at a distance. But the Greek here is not the word for a long sword. The Greek in these scriptures, actually the Greek word is in this context, is the word dagger. It was designed for up close and personal battles. And when Satan doesn't fight you from a distance, but he's right up in your face, every single morning when you wake up, when your feet hit the floor, as soon as you stand up, he's in your face reminding you of how bad things are and how bad things were and what you're dealing with and what you did yesterday and your mistakes of the past. He likes to throw that in your face. He's attacking your mind right before even you get up, before you even get to take a sip of coffee. How dare him?
That's right.
I think you used to be like, hold up, I haven't had my coffee yet. Come on.
Preach.
I'll come back and whip you once I have my coffee. That's what you need to tell him. He's in your face trying to intimidate you, telling you that you'll never win this battle. But it is in these times, it is in these moments, that when you're dealing with those things of life, that the Word of God is the weapon that He gives you to attack this invisible world. For what's in your face in the visible world? You see, you do face things in this visible world. You face things through the visible, but actually what you're really dealing with is the invisible, the spiritual realm. And when you get that concept and understand that it's not, typically it's not the person, but it's the spirit operating through the person.
Yes. Right.
Don't get mad at the person, because the person is actually a soul.
Amen.
That's going to spend eternity somewhere.
Amen.
But it's the spirit that is attacking you through the individual.
Amen.
So to help us face the things and understand, let's look at what Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Now that applies wherever you're living at throughout time. The darkness of this age. There is a darkness in this age.
Amen.
Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That is why we cannot take physical weapons into a spiritual battle. I'll say it again. You cannot take physical weapons into a spiritual battle. We are spirits with a body, not a body with a spirit.
Amen.
That's why you can't react to spiritual things in a fleshly manner. We see here that Moses and Peter both did this. Moses, when he realized who he truly was and his true identity, he killed the Egyptian. He responded in the flesh. And when Jesus was arrested in the garden, Peter pulls a sword and cuts off the ear of one of the soldiers. But both times, God in these situations, he said, no, this is not the answer. You're reacting in your flesh. But what is happening is actually spiritual.
Yeah.
So Galatians 5:16 tells us that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's why we must, especially in this day and age, walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
What needs to be ruling us and directing us and guiding us is the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the age, not your emotions.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's okay to have your emotions. Because God gave us emotions.
Yeah, right.
But you cannot let your emotions dictate who you are and how you react to situations. Because your emotions a lot of times are probably going to conflict with what the Spirit is telling you to do. But your emotion says, but I really want to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
I know you all been there. But the Spirit says, let me fight this battle for you.
Yeah.
How many times have you been in those situations where you thought, you know what, if I could handle this right now, I could take care of this situation right now, right here, I could take care of this. And God says, it's not your fight. And you got to step back and say, okay, but can I assist? Just with the laying on of hands, God. But you realize on the other side of that situation, when it all worked out and God took care of it, that you would have completely messed it up if you would have stepped in. You would have. You would have made a mess out of the situation. But when you understood, God, this is a spiritual situation, I'm going to let you handle this. And God took care of the situation. It's amazing what can happen. It's amazing, even that person that you thought hated you or that person that you were on the brink of hating, because you didn't handle it yourself, God ended up using you to win them.
Yeah. Amen.
It's all in our approach to understand it's a spiritual thing we're dealing with here. So we must get our hearts right with God. This is why I preach this so often. Your heart matters.
Amen.
We got to make sure that our heart's right. Because when your heart is right and God's word is alive in us, we don't allow the flesh to control us.
Yeah.
But we get into the word of God and we allow the word of God to change who we are. Listen to me this morning. God's word is not just a book to be studied.
Yeah.
Should you study it? Yes. But it is not just another book on your shelf to be studied, but it is a weapon to be wielded.
Amen.
In order to wield the sword, you must be willing to yield your heart.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
You can't take this into your hand and use it as a weapon if you have not yielded your heart completely to the Lord first.
Amen.
You can't. Let me break down God's word for us for a moment. I know it's kind of a little more teaching, preaching, a little bit of preaching today. But there are three things I want to point out about it. Three perspectives of it, of the Word of God. The first one is the graphe. The graphe means the writings of the Word of God. It is the written Word of God. Scripture is called in the Bible graphe. It's the Bible, written word. In other words, when I sit down or when I sit this down on the pulpit today, when you hold it in your hands today, you are holding the graphe. You're holding 66 books and the words that make them up, that composes the canon of Scripture. Whether it's on your nightstand or on your coffee table or you carried it into this house today, you came in here with graphe. You came in here with the word of God in written form.
Amen.
Number two is the Logos. The Logos goes further than the graphe. The graphe is the word written, but the Logos is the message of the book itself. It is the content of the word. It is the Bible when you read it and when you don't read it. It is the Bible simply because it is the Bible. Whether we read it or not doesn't change what it is. It's the message that is in the Logos. So when you come to church and you hear a message preached or broken down through teaching on Wednesday nights or next Sunday, you are going to understand the message of the Word of God. You just experienced when today, right now, you are experiencing the Logos, the message of the Word of God. That's why when preachers get up, they better get up and preach the Scripture and not their opinions.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
There's no power in my opinion. I can speak my opinions all day long. Nothing will take place in this church. But when you begin to speak the message of the Word of God, you begin to break things in the spiritual realm in a church. That's why preaching is very important. It's the message. So because now you get the message of the graphe, the content has been clarified to you, and now you understand it. And the Logos is very powerful in itself, because in the beginning, the Bible tells us, was the Word, the message. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then the Word, or the message, became flesh and dwelt among us. So when Isaiah was writing prophecy about a baby coming to be born to a virgin, it was the graphe. But the graphe became the Logos, the message, when it came to life through the birth of Jesus. You see, it's the message given. Now, not just given, but fulfilled. The Logos is the living Word. When he took his first breath on this earth, the Word of God was alive.
Amen.
It's the Word of power that you see. The problem is today that a lot of people want the graphe. They want the written Word of God, but they don't want to apply the Logos, the message. People swear on the Bible every day. They place their hand on it, and they'll swear on the Bible every single day, but they neglect the message of its contents.
Yes. Amen.
That's right. Yeah. 2 Timothy 3 and 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. We can't have a form of it and not have the power of it. That's why I say it can't just sit on a coffee table and just sit on a coffee table. It does no good just sitting there on the coffee table to you. You can sit there and look at it all day long and be like, come on, give me something. But it's not until you pick it up in your hands and actually open it up and begin to read through the words that begins to speak to you and minister to you, that the written word becomes alive and you begin to get the message of the written word. You say, well, I'm fighting something. Well, guess what? You have to open it up and speak it for it to become the weapon. So the graphe, the Logos are good to understand, but that's not the word in verse 17 that we talked about. He doesn't say the sword of the Spirit, that is the graphe of God. He doesn't say the Logos of the Spirit, but he says the sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God. Rhema means utterance. To speak it, or words spoken or declared. That's what that means. It means to declare something, to speak something. Or it's the declaration of the Logos. It's the declaration of the message that you got from the graphe, the written word. You say, well, how do I get the message? The written word.
Yeah.
Well, how do I find the sword? It's right here, the written word of God.
Amen.
The message is there. You just got to open it up and speak it. I remember a preacher telling me one time years ago, I was a kid, he told a story. He was at church back in Reynoldsburg, where many, many years ago. And I'll never forget him telling the story. He said he was a pastor. He was in this church and he was praying and they were just having spiritual warfare in the church. And he said it was kind of like how we used to have it set up here. And he said there was one middle aisle right down the middle. And he said, I was just praying back and forth, praying. So I looked up and he said, I saw this demon, this spirit that went from the floor to the ceiling. His head was touching the ceiling. He said, and I began to pray, just speak to this thing, pray and pray. He said, nothing was happening. He said, I thought, what happened? Did I lose my power? Like, what is taking place? I know I've got the Holy Ghost. What is happening right now? He said, nothing would move this thing. Nothing would shake this thing. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, grab your word. He said, I opened up the word and I just began to read scripture. He said, and every time I would read a scripture, I would look up and it would go a little smaller. And I would read another scripture, a little smaller. He said, I kept reading scripture until I got to the place where I walked over and said, in Jesus' name, and I stepped on it. Things shifted when he realized it's more than a written word. It's more than just a message. But if I take the written word and the message and I put it into a vocal form, the rhema of God, it becomes the sword of the Spirit in that spiritual battle. Sometimes we wear ourselves out trying to remove the spiritual realm around us and try to take the fight ourselves. But all we have to do is just simply open up the Word of God and begin to speak it.
Yeah.
Or get it in your heart. Where's my Bible quizzers? My Bible quizzers. Any of you who just want to stand up and just give me a scripture that you know?
Amen.
Good. Victoria, go ahead. Their heart. That's why when the enemy comes up against this next generation, I'm telling you right now, they are going to regret it because they are armed and ready for battle. Come on, they're standing in that victory already because the Word of God's in them. It's in them. I know that they should learn it so that if they would ever walk away, it would bring them back or keep them from walking away. But I'm telling you right now, I believe this generation is learning this because God is raising up a mighty army in this last hour. And the sword is in them. Don't ever stop, kiddos. And I'm going to tell you, I'm so proud of you guys. Our beginners that went and got the juniors and beginners, all these ribbons, are they like clean house? They brought all these trophies and these ribbons and all those great things. I want you to understand, I'm so proud of you as your pastor for doing that, representing this church in a great way. But let me tell you something, those trophies and those ribbons will never win a spiritual battle, but the Word of God inside of you.
Yes!
Keep winning. That's all right. Amen. But don't ever let it stop coming out of you. Woo. It's the Rhema. The Rhema. It's our word alive in our life. And it's no longer just another book on the shelf or the message of God inside of us. It is who we are. It has to become who we are.
Amen. Amen.
And when it's in you, it changes how you live.
Yeah.
You teenagers, you kids, do you think that since you've been quizzing, it's kind of changed the way you live a little bit? Because the Word of God's inside of you now.
Yeah.
Kelsey, what did you quote it one more time, the one you quoted? Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right.
Yes.
I'm guessing y'all are good kids anyways, but I'm guessing that you don't have a problem with obeying your mom and dad. Why? Because the Word of God that speaks that word has become alive in you now. It changes how you live. It'll change how you live your life.
Yes.
When it becomes alive inside of us. The Rhema word puts the sword of the Spirit in our hand, and that's how you win spiritual battles. Let's look at Jesus. He uses his own word. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. And now when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, don't you love how he questions everything? If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down. For it is written that he shall give his angels charge over you in their hands, that they shall bear you up, and lest that you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, now did you notice there who was speaking the word?
Yep.
Satan knows the word.
Yeah.
And Jesus said to him, it is written again that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Your God. Don't tempt me.
Yeah.
Even though I kicked you out, I'm still your God.
Amen.
Don't tempt me. He says, it is written. Again, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. I will give you what belongs to you. What you created. This is who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. I'm telling you right now, when you involve the written word and the message and the rhema of God in your fight, and you just begin to speak those things, that it might kind of wear you out. Come on, really? Isn't this over? Come on. You just kind of keep going at it. But I promise you that the Lord on the other side of it is not just going to leave you weary from the fight and speaking his word, but he will send angels to minister unto you. Amen. Do we believe that?
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 18:21 puts it this way. The tongue has the power of life and death. You decide what you speak. Someone needs to speak life into your situation today. Somebody needs to speak this word into your situation today. Somebody says, you know, I've been fighting a battle. I just feel like the storm's been coming, Pastor. It's just been raging. That's all right, because when the battle comes, it's all right. The Lord tells me, his word tells me that he will raise up the standard against it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
So maybe just to remind the devil today, through the written word of God, through the message of the word of God, allow it to become alive through the rhema, through the spoken word of God today in this place. To be able to speak and say, you know what? I'm not battling against flesh and blood, but I understand what I'm facing. But I also understand that Jesus told me that don't bother yourself. I'm paraphrasing. Don't worry too much about the world, because I've already overcome the world.
Amen.
Quit stressing yourself out about what's going on in the government right now. Don't get so wrapped up in all of that that you forget to spend time in this. I told my pastor the other day on the phone, for 12 years I sat underneath him and he preached. And when Facebook came out, he would hammer Facebook. And I would sit there and just kind of, I was that younger youth pastor. And I thought, what's wrong with Facebook? Like, come on. And I told him the other day, I said, I apologize. I fully understand what is wrong with Facebook.
Yeah.
I get it. I said, no, I'm still on there. I'll share some church stuff. I'll like some stuff sometimes. I'm not on there very much. I said, I'm on there a little bit, but I fully understand that as a pastor especially, that if I could get everybody into the book and off of that book a little more, that your problems would not be as big as you think they are.
Amen.
Because people love to speak their words on Facebook. Keyboard warriors. Yeah, I'm sure it would have been easy for David to give Goliath his peace of mind if he'd been standing behind a large wall that he couldn't even got to him. People have no problem speaking their mind when it's just a keyboard. Amen. But they'll never say it to your face.
Yeah. Right.
But if we would get into the Word and you begin to speak what these little children and teenagers are speaking, let them be our example today. That they are studying the Word of God. Not just as some other book. As they go to school and they study those things, they're studying math and they're studying English, they're studying all these. That's good. Go study those things. Educate yourself. But don't ever let that trump this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can spit out math problems all day long. And the devil says, you're not facing me. But when they begin to speak the word of God, it begins to tear down mountains.
Amen.
Understand that. How powerful the word of God is. This is why Wednesday night teachings are so important.
Yes.
To be here on a Wednesday night to hear the word of God taught and broke down.
Right.
You're taking the written word, the message within, and you're breaking it down to where you can consume it and understand it. Because when you understand it, it becomes powerful. That's why I'm telling you, next week, be here because something's going to happen when the teacher comes and takes the word of God and breaks it down for us. Something powerful in the spiritual realm is going to shift. I believe already in this church there is a hunger within a lot of people for understanding of the word of God. That's why we're doing the Bible study on Wednesday nights, so you can understand it and then turn around and apply it, and then you can turn around and teach it yourself to somebody else who's lost.
Yeah.
That's our purpose. That's what we're called to do. We need somebody today to speak the word of God. When you speak the word of God, you're speaking life because it's alive. It's alive. It's in the beginning, he was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word became flesh, alive. He's still alive today. Do we believe that he went into a grave, but we understand that we're going, in a couple weeks, we're going to celebrate the resurrection? That he's alive and well today? We don't serve a dead God. So if we believe he's alive and well, would we not want that living word active in our life? We would not want this to be something in our life that we begin to learn and that we can speak. And you say, well, I can't memorize things very well. That's okay. Just carry the sword with you all the time.
There you go. Good.
It's there. Yeah. It's right there. He packaged it up beautifully for us. It's right there. Everything you need is right here. But if we take it and we will apply it today, it'll change who you are. It'll change your life. It'll change your home. It'll change the environment of your house. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your children. It'll change your family. It'll change this church. If we will speak it into our lives. This morning as we stand, I want us to do this. I want you to prepare yourself to begin to speak. And it doesn't matter. You say, well, I don't know a lot of scripture. Do you know any? Because I don't think it comes in categories. I don't think that we look over here and a lot of times in the Pentecostal church, we would probably say, well, Acts 2:38 at the top, it's right there at the top. Yeah, that's great. That's for a certain period of time in your walk with God, that's good.
Yeah.
All right? We need to hear that.
Yeah.
But once you've already experienced that and you're battling things, yes, I love that scripture, but I really need to hear that the word of God is alive in my life,
yeah,
and that it's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
I need to hear that I can pick it up and I can begin to speak it in that rhema, and it becomes a sword, and I can begin to remove those things around me. I need to hear that.
Amen.
It will become whatever you need today in this place. As I preached one time before, the difference between the Bible becomes the sword and sometimes it becomes the scalpel. Anybody remember that?
Mm-hmm.
There might be some people in this place today that you need to let the word of God become the scalpel and do some surgery on you. Maybe there's some things in your heart that need to be removed. Maybe there's some things that is distracting you from the word of God. Maybe there's things that's robbing you from time with the word of God. Maybe there are some things in your life that you say it needs to go, and I've tried for years to get rid of it. You need to allow the word of God to become that scalpel today to remove those things. It's your weapon of defense. It's what we use when we go to battle, but it's also what we use when we need fixed. We are flesh. And we deal with a lot of stuff. And sometimes you're not okay. Sometimes the things of life are getting to you and it becomes very heavy. Only the word of God will begin to fix and remove and scrape away those things from your life. You let the word of God begin to come in and minister to you. It'll change who you are. So today I want somebody to speak life. Speak life into your marriage. Speak life into your city. Speak life into your church. Speak life into your home. Speak life into your family today. Because when you begin to speak life, you are in return speaking death to hell and to the battles that you're facing. The sword over here gives you life, but the sword also for you it's life, but for the enemy it's death. Yeah. Understand that. Yeah. If for the sword, for you it is life in your hand, but when the enemy sees it, it sees death. It sees my end is coming. Yeah. But when you see this, you say this is life. This is why you hold it close to you. That's why the enemy says, I want to get far away from it. Mm-hmm. So today you begin to speak life. And when you speak life, you're speaking death to that situation that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You're speaking death to those problems you've been dealing with in your marriage. You're speaking death into those things that you've been dealing with your kids at home. Mm. You're speaking death into those strongholds that's been on you for a long time you want to get rid of. You speak death to that when you speak the word of God. So today, there's no music. There's no keyboard. There's no praise team. There's not even lights. But what we have strip all of this away. Strip all of this away. And what's left is all we needed the whole time. It's been here the whole time. What you need is right here. If you've got your Bible today, I wonder if you would do this. If you would pick it up. And I wonder if you would just carry it to the altar today. And if you're facing things, open it up. Just begin to speak it out over your situation. You say, I don't know where to go. It doesn't matter. Just open it up, begin to read it. It's the Word of God. It's alive. Come on. What you need is right here. It's the written Word of God. It's the message inside. Come on, open it up and let it begin to become the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, that rhema word in your life today. Come on, speak that rhema word in your life today. Greater is He that is within me than He that is within the world. Oh, arriando corre a solo corra tayando lo lo sia. Oh, arratayalosia. For the word of God is alive. It is living. It is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing far as the division of soul and spirit. Oh, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Oh, carando corriatayandolosia taya. Oh, arratayalosia. Oh, come on, somebody put on that breastplate of righteousness. Oh, arrataya de losia. Come on, shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. Taking on the shield of faith today. Oh, arrataya de losia, that helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Come on, you're fighting your battles right now. You're killing some stuff right now. You're tearing some stuff down right now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, it'll tear down walls. It'll tear down mountains. In the name of Jesus, this is what we need. This is what we need. It's right here. It's been here all along. It's your weapon of defense. Oh, come on, you don't have to fight anymore. You don't have to fight anymore. Just speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word today. Speak the word. Speak the word. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, you are alive and well today, God. You are alive and well today in this place, Lord. God, your word is speaking, Lord. Your word is fighting today, God. Your word is healing today, God. Your word is delivering today, God. God, your word brings miracles, Lord. Your word brings healing, Lord. I pray, release healing in this place right now. Release healing in this place right now. Arrondo corataya. Harriendo corratayando lo si. Harriendo lo corratayanda. Harrato corratolo lo corrataya. Harriendo lo corrotolo lo corrataya. Harriendo lo corriataya. Sorroto corrianda carratolo lo corratia. Harrando corrata satayando lo sia. Harrietolo lo corrataya. Arrando lo 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 si. Oh, arria todo lo lo curria te. Oh, arria te. Oh, arria taia lo lo curria taia. Let your word minister to us, O God. Let it fight on our behalf, O God. Oh, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. Ya dono no corri a taia taia no 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 sia. Oh, arratu no no corra taia no 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 sia. Oh, hallelujah, 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 Lord. That passeth all understanding. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let my heart long for God. Let my heart long for God. My heart long for God. More of your word, God. Oh, Adriataya.
Words out, God, work.